piano or the violin, or somebody give me an example of something that you're like, I'm going to learn that. I'm going to learn how to roller skate. Okay. So you buy your skates, you lace them up, and right away you're like, put me on that roller derby court. I'm ready. Was that what happened to you? Oh, you were a natural? Okay, well, that's where it fell apart right there. So typically, if we're going to learn a new skill, it requires time, patience, practice, falling down, and typically a teacher who knows more than you do. So in some ways, the mystic teachers, and there are some who, they wrote their stuff down. Right? So there are people like, and I can tell you their names if you want to look up some of their stuff. Julian of Norwich, Meister Eckhart, Thomas Merton. There's many of them. And they all kind of have this same vibe. If you read their stuff, you're like, oh, they've all tapped into something the same. This Christ consciousness. These two can be teachers. Our greatest teacher is Jesus. You know, we go and sit at Jesus' feet and we learn, what does it mean to recognize that the kingdom of God is in our midst? We read what Jesus did and said. Abiding in that kind of presence, like I was saying, doesn't happen. It's not a fluke. It's not just going to happen to you. It's something that has to be cultivated. It's something that requires, like I said, this rendezvous with God. So what might that look like? Daryl, do you have those little pieces of paper that I handed you? Did everybody get one? Those little pieces of paper? Yeah? You've all got one? Mom, you need one. Daryl, do you have them somewhere? Anybody else need one? Danielle? A couple of folks back there, Daryl, on this side over here. This is called meditation. It's an intentional stillness with God. And the only goal, let me tell you what the goal is. I can really, really simplify it with you. You ready? Love. That's it. To sit and experience and acknowledge the love of God for you. That's it. Just love. It's not complicated. To let that divine love permeate the space that you're in. Now, one of my favorite comedians is a woman named Ellen. And she has a shtick about how we're so busy all the time, you know? And we've got TBD, too busy disorder. And in order to keep up with our lives and the chaos of our lives, we put a coffee shop here and a coffee shop here and a coffee shop here and a coffee shop here. And the smallest coffee is a tall. You show up in the coffee shop and you're like, I need a tall coffee and a side of Red Bull. I've got TBD and I'm late for yoga. And she said, you know, the fact that we're even trying to do yoga is a joke. And then she says, so was that yoga the other day? Because we're paying for silence, right? In yoga, we are paying for silence. I was in yoga the other day and chakras are all aligned. I'm looking out of my third eye, doing all the things I'm supposed to do. And she said, you know, it's amazing what comes up in that space. Mama keeps whites bright like the sunshine. Mama likes a Clorox too. You know what I'm talking about? When you are calm and quiet, your mind is like, it's weird where your mind will go. The stuff it'll grab onto. Cultivating that stillness and that silence with God takes practice. You're not going to be able to do it on the first try. You go buy your watercolors and bring them home. You try for 3 hours and you're like, well, never going to be able to do it. You know, never going to be able to be a watercolorist. This kind of rendezvous with God, this kind of stillness and meditation that allows us to have the unbroken thread of relationship with God throughout the day takes practice. So what I've given to you is this little sheet of paper that's a very easy meditative practice. It's from Psalm 46:10. It's on the back side. The front side there is from a guy named Thomas Merton, And Thomas, like I said, is a modern-day monk, born in 1915. He is now dead, but he was a prolific writer during his time. People paid a lot of attention to him. An even more modern kind of monk and mystic is a guy named Richard Rohr. These are people that you can read who can be guides to you in a way, in addition to, you know, the Gospels. So on this piece of paper here, I have an excerpt from one of Thomas Merton's writings. And one thing that you can do during a time of like rendezvous with God is read something like this or read a piece of the Gospel and sit still with it. Read it once. Then maybe read it a second time and see if something doesn't just kind of rise to the surface of the water for you. Just a word or phrase. And then just sit with that word or phrase and let God use that as your teacher. God, what are you teaching me with this word or this phrase? So like for me, from this Luke 17 chapter, in your midst, in your midst. The other day I was taking a walk. It was kind of a hard day. It was after sticker day. And I was needing to walk because, you know, I had my anxious thoughts were going. You know, my mind was going. And one of the mystics that I was reading in on was like, what can we do with that? Let's go for a walk. And I'm like, okay, I'll go for a walk. And the thing that I kept saying as I was walking was, I'm in the mansion. I'm in the mansion. I'm in the mansion. Trying to remind myself, God is here right now, right here, right now, right now, with you, in you, here. And sometimes you have to fight for that, to remind yourself of that, that you are not alone and that God has not abandoned you and that God sees you right here and right now. God is with you, and not just with you. God is with every brother and sister on this planet. Every creature, every tree, every rock, God is there too. Permeating the whole planet. This kind of Christ consciousness changes everything. I told Joy, I was like, you know, like when you're in traffic, and she said, you've got to stop using that example. Because every time I'm like, because when you're in traffic, you know, I have to remember brother so-and-so's driving that car like a dummy. And God loves brother so-and-so. You know? Whatever it is for you that slides you off track, distracts you, abiding in the presence of God doesn't happen by accident. It's something that we choose to do. It takes practice. So on the back side of this page, there's an excerpt from Psalm 46:10, and this is actually something that was taught to me a long time ago, but that is a very easy way to calm yourself down and give yourself something to focus on that is true. You know, especially if you're having anxious thoughts, you're focusing your attention on what is true, what is noble, what is right, good, pure, lovely, admirable. That's what Paul talks about in Philippians. This is from Psalm 46, and what it does is it just takes that first line, and you take that first line, and you sit with that first line. Be still and know that I am God. And then you trim it down. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. And you just allow it to be a stepping stone to stillness. And remember what I said? What's the goal of the meditative practice? Love. To remember that you are surrounded by God's love for you. So, this is just like tip of the iceberg about the mystics. They have so much to teach us. And I know that I've really only mentioned one repeatedly, Thomas Merton. There are others that I would love to introduce you to. They are good teachers for learning how to have this unbroken connection with God.